Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Today, I have the opportunity to introduce you to my new friend, Elizabeth Lang Thompson. Elizabeth is the author of All the Feels, and today we are talking about just that, all of the feelings. Elizabeth writes about three different types of feelers: big feelers, steady feelers, and reluctant feelers. Can you guess which one I am? I am so excited for you to meet Elizabeth and hear our conversation about feelings and what the Bible says about feelings and how God feels about feelings. I think you're going to love today's conversation. So friends, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a fellow feeler. Today is going to be a really fun conversation. I have my new friend, Elizabeth Lang Thompson, and we are talking about her new book, All the Feels. Elizabeth, hey, thanks for being here today.
Yay, I'm so excited to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. So you've actually been on my books for a while, and I told you right before we started, I have an advanced reader copy of your book, and so I read like the first two or three chapters and was just like, oh, somebody else operates in feelings like I do.
You don't know how like encouraging it is for me to hear that, because you feel so vulnerable when you write this and you're like, geez, I hope there's some other people out there who aren't, you know, who right. get what I'm saying.
Somebody else is going to understand this, right? Like, right?
I'm not the only one, and they're just publishing this because, ooh, let's publish the oddball, you know?
Well, it's a pretty cover too. So they had to publish the pretty cover.
Yes, exactly.
Elizabeth, what's in your cup?
Oh, okay. So usually it's coffee, but I get to this point mid-morning where I'm like on, you know, a little caffeine overload. And so my new trick is I have hot water with lemon. So I feel like I'm still drinking, you know, kind of coffee-ish. It doesn't taste like coffee, but it's hot and it's comforting and, you know, allows me to not feel guilty about my afternoon coffee.
Okay, I like that. That's a really good trick, because there is kind of that comfort of just having a second cup, but I might try that. I might try that tomorrow. Yeah. One thing I've been doing, because school has started now, I got into the habit over the summer of like making dinner and making a cocktail. Like it was just kind of like pour a glass of wine, make a cocktail. Well, it just became a habit, which is not something I love. And so Yesterday while I was making dinners, first day of school, I'm making dinner. And so I poured a Topo Chico. I put some lime in it. And it was like, it still satisfied that like making a drink while making dinner. Mm-hmm. So it's the same kind of thing. Like, I don't want to say like the cocktail was like comforting to me, but it was, you know, it's a similar thing.
But it's sort of, yeah, it gives you that same feeling of like, this is accomplishing the same purpose and like something comforting or warm or, you know, something that I expect at this time of day makes me feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, while we're talking about coffee, what's your coffee order?
Oh goodness. Okay. So don't laugh. It's really long.
Okay. Mine's a super bougie order like that too. Like my brother-in-law is like rolls his eyes. Like, you're not asking for coffee. You're telling them your coffee. I'm like, yeah.
I know. It's embarrassing. But when you drink it as often as I do, like, you know what needs to go in. So I'm a Starbucks person. So it's a venti half calf mocha with only two pumps of mocha and light whip.
I like that. So when I'm at Starbucks, I get I order an Americano with two pumps white chocolate and two pumps cinnamon dolce and room for cream.
Ooh, that sounds yummy.
And I keep the portions the same. Like if I go grande, it's four pumps. If I go venti, it's four pumps. Like I kind of keep it the same. And then if you want to get into the holiday spirit of it all, you just change out the cinnamon dolce for either peppermint or pumpkin spice. And it's very good. And it's not as heavy because it's an Americano.
Yeah. You know, that's a good idea. And I want to say the Americano is a little bit cheaper than mocha.
Yeah. So until you start adding things like me, and then it's about the same price. But it
well,
is.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's great. It's one of my favorites. I want to talk about your book because it's one, why you're here, but two, because like we said before, to meet somebody who is like this like self-proclaimed big feeler, it really is so interesting. So let's kind of like dive in. How does being a big feeler come out in your normal life?
Oh, it comes out all over my normal life.
When you say big feeler, are you like a bit, like, do you, I cry a lot. Like my kids, like if I'm happy, I'm like all over the place. Maybe I've had too much coffee today. Have you seen the video of Kristen Bell where she talks about like, if I'm at a 7 or up, I'm crying, or if I'm like a 3 and low, I'm crying. Like there's like this like tipping of the scales. Either way, my feelings come out as crying.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I remember my husband, Kevin, the first few months of our marriage, he turned to me. I never knew I married a sprinkler. And I was like, you know, punched him in the arm. I was like, hey, that's not fair. But I do. Yeah, I'm same thing. Like if I'm really happy, I cry. If I'm really upset, I'm cry. If I'm stressed, it's like my tear ducts are permanently connected to my emotions. But, you know, I think too, it's just for me, what I mean when I say being a big feeler is it's like you live life in high definition. Like if you're happy, you are so happy. If you are overwhelmed, it's a really intense feeling of overwhelmed. If you're sad, you are like, life is really, really rough. You know, it's just, it's high definition, it's technicolor, 3D, everything feels even bigger. But that's not always a negative thing. Like with joy, you experience so much joy and gratitude. So, you know, there are a lot of great things about being a big feeler.
Absolutely. What is your Enneagram type?
Okay, my sister and I have been debating this endlessly.
Okay. I can't wait.
And I think that I'm a 3-wing 4.
Okay.
Because the 4 brings in the angst, you know, mm-hmm. And but I might be a 1. I don't know.
Okay. I love that. So that's why I asked, because I'm a 9 and I'm a 9 in work. I wing 1 in life. I kind of wing 8. So I feel things like you're saying, like when I feel so down or when I feel burdened or anything, like my go-to is like, I just need to sleep this off. Like I just can't, like I feel so, and I'm not like one who is, prone to depression, but I am one who is prone to feel every single thing. And I like what you said, like, it's all just kind of heightened. Like if I'm happy, oh, you better believe like I am the happiest. And so I just like, when you were saying that, I was like, I wonder if we're the same, which I love that God makes us so differently and so unique, because we can feel so many feelings and be totally different people. So it was just one of those, like, I wonder,
Yeah.
So I love that you wrote this book, because you talk all about God and how he created our feelings and how he really set our feelings kind of apart and how it's really important for us to navigate our feelings. But what is the role of emotion supposed to be played, or how is it supposed to be played in our faith?
You know, one of the things that I've thought a lot about over the last few years is just how much, like, our faith and our feelings in so many ways are inseparable. It's not that we live our faith by our feelings, you know, that, oh, I feel like serving God today, woohoo, you know, or I don't feel like it, so I'm just, you know, see you later, God, when I'm in the mood, I'll get back to you. Not like that, but I just think that God wants us to feel like we can walk through life with him. Like he wants to be the one who's taking our hand when we're sad, and who we run to when we need comfort and we have questions and we're confused and life doesn't make sense. He wants to be that safe place for us. And he wants to be the one who shares our joys. You know, I was thinking, I had this random the other day. I don't know what got me thinking about it when I was praying, but you know the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers, and he heals 10 lepers and only one comes back to thank him. And Jesus has this funny moment where he's like, well, where are the other 9? And I think it's because God loves to celebrate with us. Jesus wanted to celebrate with them. Like, he was like, don't let me miss the party, guys. Like, if you're happy, come share it with me. So to me, it's God wants to be all up in all of that. He wants to share life with us.
I love that. Oh my gosh. And maybe, I don't know, but for me, hearing you say that, it's like, Jesus wants to celebrate. Like, he wants to feel like when we are like morose and down, like, man, he is our strong tower there. When we are excited and happy, the angels are rejoicing, you know, like, I mean, like, we serve a God of emotions. And I think that's really, really beautiful. But I was also thinking about like when David had his manic episodes, whatever they were, like, I feel like you're far away from me. I can't find you. Like, feelings are peppered all throughout the Bible. And I don't think that we've noticed. I haven't noticed it. I'll say that. Like, I haven't noticed it.
In the Bible, you're like, holy cow, how did I miss this? Like, the Bible is such an emotional book. I mean, you mentioned David, like the Psalms. I mean, he goes from the depths of despair to the like raging anger that like scares you a little bit, you know, where he's like, may his wife be a widow and break the teeth of the wicked. And you're like, whoa, little harsh there, you know? And then, but then like joy and like weeping with gratitude. And what that tells me is that God understands that we are deeply emotional, just like he is. I mean, we're made in his image, so we reflect his feelings. And he's like, bring it to me. This should be part of us together. I want to hear it and I can take it from you.
Yeah. And I just think about like what causes me to worship, right? So what stirs within me is a feeling. So we're originally from Alaska. So when I see great mountainscapes, when I can look and I can say, that is the glory of God right before me, it stirs something within me. I have a friend who can hear the wind and be stirred in her soul because she knows that God is behind that. Like, in like a worship song, like there's just so many things where it's like, if God didn't want us to feel feelings, we would live in a beige world. Like we would live in the desert, you know, like that's how I feel. So can you describe the three different kinds of feelers for us?
Yes. Okay. So we've touched on the big feeler. Everything is heightened. It's big. And I will say, just because I want to talk a little bit like the strengths and weaknesses of each, because we, you know, we all have those. So the big feeler, like they're very intuitive. They read other people really well. They may tend to, you know, a lot of times they'll refer to themselves as like empaths, you know, like I feel what other people's feelings. They may be sort of burden borrowers, like they may struggle to separate what someone else's pain from their own. Like they can get overwhelmed. Like social media may be very overwhelming at times for a big feeler, because they're sitting there drinking in everybody's heartache and they can't let it go, which is both strength and a struggle, right? But they have these incredible gifts of intuition and sensitivity and compassion. The steady feeler. So I am married to like a classic steady feeler, which they're the person who's like right in the middle, where they're very emotionally intelligent and they're engaged emotionally, but they have this strength and this ability where they can box up their feelings and say, you know, I'm going to deal with this later. Like, I don't have time for that right now. This is not the time to fall apart. Somebody's got to keep us moving forward. The steady feeler is able to do that really well. They don't live in that constant flux and the high highs and low lows, but they have it. So for the steady feeler, what tends to happen is they're fine most of the time. And then bam, like something catches them off guard and they're like, whoa, wait, I'm not used to being sideswiped by my emotions. So they can struggle at times when they get, you know, those unexpected big feelings. But the fact that they're so emotionally engaged, like they tend to be very inspiring people, great leaders. That's my husband. He's a minister. He like connects really well with people, but also plans well.
Yeah.
And then you've got the reluctant feeler, who I just love, because these are people who, you know, like, they prefer handshakes with their feelings, not hugs, you know? And like, they have been twitching through this whole conversation. They're like, I'm shocked if you're still with us, reluctant feelers. We're so glad you're still here. We promise this is for you too, because I think reluctant feelers, they value logic and honesty, fairness. They're not going to be swayed by people's opinions, by what other people feel. They're like, no, we've got to do what's right. Like, yeah, everybody's feeling stuff, but what's the right thing? You know, and we need that voice so much. But the reluctant feeler does need to get more comfortable with their emotions. Otherwise, they either stuff it so long that they get all tangled and knotted inside, or maybe they explode all over the place, maybe once a year, which is not so fun for them or anyone else. So yeah, I could go on and on about.
I think that's great. And I think that we need like every kind of feel in our life, right? Like we need the steady feelers to keep us from bouncing back and forth. We need the reluctant feelers because I need to be pulled back sometimes. I'm like, this is the best. And they're like, oh my God, this isn't like the best thing I've ever seen. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. So I know I need that in my life.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now a message from a network supporter.
I want to jump in really quick to tell you about an online parenting event that you or someone you know definitely won't want to miss. We're living in some strange and difficult days right now, wouldn't you say? And I think it's safe to say that all parents feel the pressure to lead their homes well, especially now. Wouldn't it be nice to feel the freedom to check that perfectionism at the door and become a perfectly imperfect parent that God called you to be? It's time to sign up today for the Perfectly Imperfect Christian Parenting Event that will be held on October 23rd through 24th. This is a completely digital event that was designed to give parents the practical and spiritual help needed to grow as leaders in the home, and it's in an easy, accessible digital form. With more than 40 available talks, you'll hear from amazing speakers like Aaron and Jamie Ivey, Mark Batterson, Jonathan Pitts, Nicole Zagowski, and the Duck Dynasty Robertson family, and so many more. Tickets are only $49, and we invite you or a parent that you love to register today for this digital Christian parenting event. Visit perfectlyimperfect.org to sign up today. Okay, let's get back to today's show. And I think when it comes to like personal growth, because that's what we're in. We're in the series, it's time for personal growth. So when we're looking at personal growth, what is the best way to like acknowledge what type of feeler we are?
Ooh, the best way to acknowledge. I do have some tests. I have a little self-test in the book, and I have a fun self-test online. So those are like, if you're a self-test kind of girl.
Absolutely.
Those are super fun. I think though, you kind of know. What I'm noticing in talking to early readers of the book is that they're sort of, some people aren't sure it, between big feeler, steady feeler. They're like, I'm kind of right on that edge. Sometimes it helps to ask your friends, like, what do you think I am? You know, do you feel, how do I handle my emotions? Like, do you see me as someone who they're big and they're out there and they, my emotions lead me instead of me leading my emotions? Or do you think I've got a decent handle on them? You know, so some of those questions can be helpful as well.
And I know that when I'm not emotionally healthy, then I am not carrying that properly. Like,
right.
If I'm kind of emotionally just off, then my feelings are more like that kind of roller coaster happens a lot faster. If I can be steady and be emotionally healthy, and sometimes that's in counseling or sometimes that's in more prayer, I mean, all of those things.
Right.
But if I can manage that better, then I know that I won't emotionally vomit all over the place, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I do think like working on our emotions on the front end is always better than on the back end when it's like, let's do some cleanup here.
Yep.
And that goes for all kinds of feelers. Because like you said, I mean, reluctant feelers can, if they don't pay attention to their emotions, they can have those awful like blow ups or blowouts. And they're like, I didn't even know I was upset. Like, I don't know where this is coming from. So the more we can think it through, pray it through, be aware of who we are, the better equipped we are to deal with those in the moments before they get like super big and messy.
Yep, absolutely. So let's talk about like emotional boundaries, because like I said, like I know that when I am not emotionally healthy, I explode. And so my kids really know how to say they're sorry because I have taught them how to say sorry.
I love that.
I mean, hopefully they'll hold on. So let's talk about emotional boundaries. How do we set some practical emotional boundaries?
I mean, one of the things I mentioned, like this concept of like burden borrowing, and I think the bigger fear that you are, the thinner the boundary can be between what's their pain, what's my pain, what do I need to carry for you, should I carry this for you, should I, you know, so some of those decisions I think can really affect our relationships. I definitely feel that as a mom in particular. I think like my kids' feelings seep into me so easily, like they're upset about school, I'm not okay either. And so one of the things I'm really working to grow in is separating like, okay, I'm going to carry this with them, but not for them, whether that be my child, my husband, my friend, like I'm going to step in and be a listening ear and show kindness and compassion. And maybe there are things God calls me to do. Maybe there are ways I can serve and I can help hand that over to God and say, okay, now it's in your hands. Like now this is your thing to help them with, God. I can't take your place. So not trying to stand in the place of God, or, and this maybe touches on that idea that you're talking about with friendship. Like, I think sometimes we forget to like, my friend can't take the place of God. Like I'm wanting from her something that I'm not going to be able to get except from God. And so maybe my expectations aren't fair or realistic. You know, we want people to read our minds and our hearts and understand every little thing, and they try, but they can't, but God can. And that's so comforting and helps you not feel so alone.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about like carrying, like we can't fight the battle for our kids, but we can fight it with them. And it just reminded me of Moses and Aaron and her like carrying Moses, like holding up their arms. Like our job is not to take the battle from our kids, but it's our job to teach our kids, if you are faithful here in this moment, you will win. I mean, in whatever winning looks like, you know, it doesn't mean the outcome that we always choose, but like the faithfulness of us being moms who are going to hold up our kids' arms instead of fight the battle for them. Because if they would have gone to fight the battle for the Israelites, Moses and Aaron and her, if they would have gone down there, they would have lost that battle. Yeah. But because Aaron and her, it's like H-U-R-R, because they held up Moses' arms, the battle was won. And so it's just kind of being an arm holder. Like that's kind of how I live. It's how I want like my legacy to look like. I want to look like an arm holder for like not for everyone, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, I love that image. Absolutely love it.
How do you hope that this book is going to impact your readers?
Oh goodness. You know, I hope it's really empowering for a lot of people. I think so many of us, if you are a big feeler, you've probably been told or told yourself, well, I'm too sensitive, I'm too much. You've probably, I know I have felt very insecure in my faith. Like I'm not a very good Christian because I'm so emotional. Like I'm too much for God. Like I'm all over the place sometimes. And I've felt like this can't possibly be a strength. It can only be weakness. But I think if we can find the parts of our feelings that are strength and that God put in there because he wanted you to use them for him, like he wants you to use that intuition, that soft-heartedness, the way that you cry at the Kleenex commercials, he loves that about you. He made you that way. Or on the flip side, let's say you are a more reluctant feeler and you feel bad, like, man, I wish I was more emotional. Why am I always so logical? Like, be empowered that, hey, God gave you that logic because the rest of us need it. We need your ability to think clearly and fairly. So owning what it is about you that honors God and really using it for him. That's one of the big things that I hope people take away. And then I think the other things I really hope it gives people very practical Bible-based tools that they can use every day. Like, my feelings are running away with me. Here's something I can do to kind of keep them from running too far. I can rein them back in. I want people to feel like, oh, I have some stuff I can do now.
Yeah. Well, and I love that because so often we read books and it's just kind of like the fluffy, like, and then you're fixed. But it's like, but what am I supposed to do? What, how do I do that? Hold on a second.
I like a plan.
Did I miss this part? What does it mean to put our feelings on airplane mode when it comes to our faith?
So, you know, I think we have this funny thing that we do unconsciously, which is when we go to church, and of course, right now, many of us haven't been to church in so long, but when we go to church or Zoom church or whatever, we just kind of, we put on our church face, you know, we feel like we need to be nice and pretty and shiny for God and for God's people. And we don't feel like church and faith are the place for our mess. And yet that's the whole point. Like, that's why we need God, because we're not shiny and perfect and clean. And because we're stressed about work, that's what God wants us to take to him. He doesn't want you to go to church and just be like, okay, let me stop thinking about my problems. I've heard so many preachers say, leave your troubles at the door. I'm like, no, bring them in with you and give them to God. Like, don't leave them at the door. This is why we're here.
Yeah. It's like saying, like, I'm not going to go to the hospital until I feel better. Like, yeah. No, you have to go to the hospital because you're broken. Like, we need to be in the church because we're broken. Like, we need our Savior. Like, we need our God to speak into us. Like, yes. you have to go. I love it. Okay, so one of the things I love to ask authors is, what did God teach you while you were writing? Like, we had talked before, like, you kind of live out this book, and then you get called to write it, and you're like, yes, I get to write this book. And then God, like, counsels you through the keyboard again. So what is the resounding message that this book taught you?
Oh, goodness. I feel like it has deepened, like, writing this book and thinking through all of these things and spending so much time pondering the emotions of God. Mm. I feel like it's just really deepened my walk with him. It's like taken it to this whole other level of sharing every little thing with him and viewing all of that, like walking, you talked about, you know, seeing a mountain and being inspired and awed by the power of God. That's a moment with God. That is a heart level connection. Or seeing my kid get something that they've been working on for a long time, and that victory of, thank you, God, for that. This is so beautiful. Or working through an issue with somebody at church that we needed to work out, and the Holy Spirit brings us together, and celebrating that with God, like just sharing the moments of life with God, I think has been so exciting. It's made God real. Not that he wasn't real before, but real in that, like, deeply relational level that, you know, can be hard to find. So I've really enjoyed that. It's been really fun.
I think that's amazing. That's so beautiful. Do you think God has a favorite emotion?
Ooh.
I mean, this, like, totally, like, kind of might be like a blasphemous question, but I was just thinking, like, I wonder what his favorite emotion is.
Oh, that's such a good question. I mean, wow, I don't know. It'd be hard to say if he has a favorite, but I do think God is not afraid of joy. And now he's not afraid of our grief either.
Right.
You know, he welcomes it. It is actually a gift he gives us to help us walk through hard things to heal. And it's not something to run from. But I do think we can kind of think of God as so, like, do this, do that, and maybe I'll let you in heaven. Yeah. But there's such an undercurrent of joy in the scriptures. Like, I mean, how many times does it say things like, rejoice always? I will say it again, rejoice. Or rejoice in the Lord always.
Yeah.
Joy of the Lord is your strength. I mean, it's in there so much. So I do think God wants us to have joy. Now, sometimes it feels, life feels very different from that, because it feels like life is determined to strangle the joy out of our lives. But
we feel guilty for joy sometimes. Like, if I'm happy, I have a friend who just announced that she's pregnant. She's like, and I don't really want to even talk about it because I know that there are people who are struggling. It's like, but that doesn't take away your joy. So I think that we're afraid of joy sometimes.
We are. We feel bad when other people, you know, they don't get it. And And God, I think that he wants us to have it. He knows that we don't always get it the way that he pictured in the Garden of Eden here in this broken planet we live in. But in heaven, we can look forward to that.
Absolutely. I love that. I just want to tell all of our listeners, all of our friends, go out and get this book. It's going to be so good for us just to understand our feelings a little bit better, for us to walk in health, and for us to say oh, okay, you made me this way. I'm allowed to feel feelings like a crazy person because you made me this way. Or I can be a little bit more stoic because you made me this way. It's just an acceptance of God does not make mistakes, and he made you the way he made you, and he wants you to be exactly who he created you to be. And once we accept that and walk in that, there's a oneness, a togetherness that we get to feel with him. So friends, go get this book right now. Okay. So one of the newest questions I'm asking people is, what is it time for? The verse in Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything under the sun. Right now it's time for coffee. Later it'll be time for Jesus. What is it time for in your life right now?
You know, I feel like it's time for courage. It's funny. Anytime I release a new book, I have this moment a few weeks before of just a day or two of absolute panic. And why in the world did I do this? Why would I share all these intimate things with everyone? You know, and then I have to kind of strap my courage back on and say, well, because God called you to, and he wants you to, and if he called you to do something, he's going to provide and protect along the way. So I feel like just sharing these things so vulnerably, I need a lot of courage, and I want to meet people honestly where they are as feelers. And I look forward to it. I really do. When I'm not having my moments of panic, I just absolutely, it's such a joy.
It is. But
and hear other people's messy moments too.
Absolutely. But there is that moment of oh my gosh, I don't even know what I wrote. I don't even know what I shared anymore. Oh no, what did I say? Or it's that labor, that labor and delivery. And then people are so excited and you're I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
What just happened?
I don't know if I'm ready for this. Oh my goodness.
Here we are. Well, I love it. I'm so excited for this book to come out. Elizabeth, thank you for hanging out with me this morning. This has been so much fun.
Oh, so fun. Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
Man, I hope you loved meeting Elizabeth today. I know I did. I learned so much just about where our feelings kind of stem and how God wants to react to those feelings. One of the things that stuck out to me is that God is not afraid of our joy, and we don't need to be afraid of our joy either. He's not afraid of our sorrow, and we don't need to be either. Man, he loves us so stinking much. Go to him with all of your feelings, every single one of them. Thanks for hanging out today. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend. Thank you.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.